I am Rob Dummel, Senior Portfolio Manager at Tortoise, and we continue our Tortoise educational series today that highlights companies on the cutting edge as the world balances increasing global energy demand with the need to reduce carbon emissions. Today, I'm excited to bring you a real innovator, an entrepreneur that has created an energy technology company that could accelerate the rate of decarbonization around the world. I'm joined by Thomas Healy, CEO of Hylion Holdings Corporation. In early October, shareholders approved the merger of Hylion Holdings Corporation and Tortoise Acquisition Corp. So, Thomas, thanks for joining us today. And let's start just from a big picture perspective. What significant changes do you expect in the global energy supply and demand over the next decade?
Thanks, Rob. As we look at the next decade here, we see there being just a tremendous shift towards electrification, right? And I think that goes across all different sectors. But for our focus, we're specifically working on the commercial vehicle transportation sector. And transportation is the number one polluter out there. That's where over 25% of our global GHG emissions come from, just this one sector. And so Hylion's approach is really taking this mega trend of what we've seen going on in the passenger car space of bringing forward electrification technologies, and we're bringing that into the commercial vehicle, the trucking space, you know, the big 18-wheelers that you see going down the highway. And what's really unique about this opportunity is that what works in the passenger car space or even across other industries doesn't necessarily work for commercial vehicles, right? Each industry is very unique and different. And so while plug-in electric cars might work great for the passenger car driving into work in the morning, that doesn't necessarily work great for the long-haul trucking space. And so that's where we're taking a unique approach on electrification, where we're actually utilizing renewable natural gas locally on the vehicle to be able to recharge the batteries as the truck is driving, and use that to then be able to supply the electricity needed in order to have a fully electric truck, but one that doesn't require the grid to recharge the battery. And there's a lot of unique and interesting things about this solution that I'm sure we'll dive into throughout this presentation, but the transportation sector is really driven off of cost of moving goods around and how much emissions are coming out of that vehicle, and really focused on the practicality of needing to be able to keep their assets out on the road and running and putting hundreds of miles a day on the vehicles. And that's where infrastructure being able to recharge and refuel these vehicles is critical. And so lots of exciting things going on, global shift towards electrification over the next decade, and we're trying to do our part of it in bringing forward electrified solutions in the commercial vehicle space.
Thanks, Thomas. That's very helpful. And I promise I will. I know there are a lot of questions inside of everything you said there that people will be interested in. We'll get to several of those, I hope, here in a second. Before we dive too deep into that, though, I'd just be interested in your thoughts then. So what role do you see for natural gas playing in this energy transition?
Our focus is really on renewable natural gas. And so there's an abundance of natural gas. And the great thing with natural gas is that there's an infrastructure already set up for it, right? There's pipelines all across the U.S. already built and in place and being utilized. And there's this other mega trend going on of renewable natural gas and capturing methane coming off of landfills and dairy farms and wastewater treatment plants. And then that methane is getting pumped into the existing natural gas infrastructure, the pipelines that are already out there. And then what we're able to do is we can actually use that methane, what would have been conventionally just a pollutant that would have gotten let off into the atmosphere, we can actually use that as a fuel in our vehicle to be able to drive the truck. And so we're kind of taking what would have been a negative or bad pollutant for the environment just coming off of a landfill or a dairy farm and now using that to drive a vehicle. And so that's where we see natural gas being really a critical fuel of the future here, because we're fortunate that across the U.S. here that we already have infrastructure. And we have a very clean source of natural gas that's starting to become one of the abundant players. So it's pretty staggering in the commercial vehicle space already. About 40% of the natural gas used in vehicles is already coming from renewable natural gas. And we're seeing that trend continue to increase year over year.
Well, that's a very interesting step. Thanks for that, Tom. So let's dive a little deeper into your business, because I think people might be interested in that. So in the era of Twitter and in 280 characters or less, can you just describe the Hylion business?
Absolutely. So we're electrifying the trucking space, but we're taking a unique approach where we are leveraging renewable natural gas on the vehicle to be able to recharge the batteries and use that to drive the truck, which allows for lowest total cost of operation, lowest emissions, and utilizing existing infrastructure.
Well, that was very impressive. You kept it within 280 characters or less, so thank you for that. So, well, one of the educational theory's key themes is, how does the world continue to grow and develop and increasing energy supply while reducing carbon emissions? So how is Hyliion driving global decarbonization?
So it really comes back to looking at the different fuel sources that can be potentially used to fuel the trucking industry, right? And as we shift towards electrification, while that's a great shift, really the question we need to be looking at is what fuel is being used to actually recharge those batteries, and then how much emissions comes from that fuel. So there's really three types of electrified trucks that are going to be the wave of the future. You have fully electric plug-in trucks, which, you know, is kind of, we've seen a lot of press from Tesla coming out of that. We've got hydrogen fuel cell vehicles, which are using hydrogen locally on the truck to produce electricity. And then you have our solution, which is utilizing natural gas and specifically renewable natural gas to charge the batteries. And it's really important to look at well-to-wheel emissions of both the fuel and the actual vehicle. So when you do that analysis, what's really staggering is, you know, let's look at hydrogen for a second. Most of the hydrogen that's used here in North America comes from steam methane reforming, which in many cases is actually more pollutive than diesel. Then when you look at the electric grid, the average electricity that's used off the grid has about a 20% less emissions profile than just running diesel. So while there is some savings, you only get down to zero pollutants if you're using purely wind and solar or hydro, right? So what we're doing is we're saying, hey, you know, the correct path or the best path here is to actually use renewable natural gas, which is the only one of these fuel sources that actually has a net carbon negative or a below zero emissions profile. Going back to what I mentioned earlier of the process of capturing methane coming off of landfills. So what we're really doing is we're taking what was a pollutant into the atmosphere already, and we're, instead of letting it gas off, we're now capturing it and using it as a fuel in a vehicle. So that actually allows us to have a below zero emission score because the emissions that come out of the tailpipe of our truck are less pollutant than what could have come off of, like, let's say, a dairy farm. And so from that standpoint, that's where we really shine in terms of an emissions profile, having a net carbon negative, a kind of a CI score, carbon intensity score on the vehicle, if you're utilizing, you know, specific renewable natural gases that are becoming available. And so that's where we're able to drive a really strong emission savings compared to a conventional diesel truck, but even a much better emissions profile compared to a plug-in electric truck or a hydrogen fuel cell truck.
So think about that. Net carbon zero for the transportation sector. That's kind of unheard of even just a few years ago. Well, I mean, just what an amazing innovation. So Thomas, along those lines, can you quantify how much carbon dioxide Hyliion could potentially eliminate?
Yeah, so I think the really staggering numbers is just over 300 of our trucks deployed running on renewable natural gas would have the ability to eliminate 1 million tons of GHG emissions. So to kind of put that into context, 1 million tons, that's about the average amount of pollutants that comes out of California per day. So 300 of our trucks deployed over their lifetime would equate to eliminating about one entire day's worth of California emissions. So pretty staggering numbers.
You know, absolutely. And obviously a global opportunity as well. So we've heard a lot about the trucking industry and the transportation industry and the changes that are happening. And you've explained to us how you guys are participating in that. Are there other competing technologies in the trucking industry and the transportation industry that you're keeping your eye on?
Yeah, so what's fascinating is trucking is primarily diesel right now. You know, 90-something percent of the trucks out there run on diesel fuel. The electrification trend that's really coming here, we're seeing a lot of different players come into the space. As we look at the long-haul market, it's really Tesla leading the charge with their fully electric plug-in truck. There are a few players in the hydrogen fuel cell truck side, but I think the one that's probably most commonly recognized by viewers would be Nikola. And then it's really us in the natural gas electric vehicle. And so it's really those three solutions that are the ones that are kind of prevailing as the providers for this space. And, you know, what's interesting from our end is we spend a tremendous amount of time with customers. And what we found is fleets are really at the point now where they believe that electrification is the wave of the future. They're convinced of it. and they're trying to figure out what's going to be the right solution for them and for their operations. And so what's been interesting is we'll have meetings with fleets and they'll want to do a real deep dive in comparing, you know, our technology against a battery electric truck versus a fuel cell truck, and really trying to figure out what's going to be the right solution for their operations. And what's unique about trucking, very different than the passenger car space, is that trucking is all about getting goods from point A to point B and doing it as inexpensive as possible, right? That's how they make their revenue. And so what's interesting is while there is this kind of global shift towards moving to cleaner solutions, less pollutive solutions, the trucking industry also needs to have solutions that are going to save them money. Otherwise, it's a very difficult thing for them to adopt unless it's going to be subsidized by the government. And so that's where, with our solution, we're really focused on bringing forward cost savings, emission savings, and having infrastructure already built out. When you actually compare our solutions or even a diesel truck versus a hydrogen fuel cell or a battery electric truck, battery electric and fuel cell are actually, where today's prices stand, are actually more expensive to operate in most cases than just even running a diesel truck. We're the only solution that actually has a cost savings for the fleet, as well as bringing forward that emission saving.
And that's interesting. And I wanted to elaborate a little bit more on that, Thomas, if you could, because you just mentioned that your truck is cheaper than a diesel truck, if I understood you right. But you also mentioned fuel cell and other alternatives. How does your technology compare from a cost perspective to even fuel cell and other alternatives that you discussed?
Yeah, so if we look at kind of a normal 7-year total life of ownership or total cost of ownership of a truck, we're going to have about a 30% savings compared to a normal diesel truck, versus electric will be a little bit more expensive than that. And then hydrogen is actually significantly more expensive than a diesel truck. And really what drives those numbers is the cost of the fuel, right? And so for each one of these solutions, the battery electric, the hydrogen fuel cell, and natural gas electric, you need to look at what's the cost of grid electricity, of hydrogen, and of natural gas. And if you look at grid electricity today, if you go plug in your, let's say, a Model S, the Tesla Model S, you go plug it in at a supercharger, you're going to get charged about 28 cents per kilowatt hour. And so pretty expensive still in terms of electricity cost. Versus if you look at hydrogen, you're going to be spending about north of $10 actually per kilogram of hydrogen that you're using. So when you compare that to diesel, it's about a 4x cost delta compared to diesel. And then when you look at natural gas, here's really the unique thing is that natural gas today, we've got fleets that are actually sourcing it for a dollar or even less than a dollar per diesel gallon equivalent of natural gas. And so it's the only fuel that is less than diesel today, and significantly less than diesel. And even when you look at cost projections of hydrogen in the future and grid electricity in the future, natural gas is still cheaper than those future projections. And that's where our technology really shines, right? Because we're leveraging a resource that is available today in abundance, and it's significantly cheaper than what the current fuel that's being used of diesel.
That's very interesting. We all think about it, I guess, as kind of the cost at the pump. And I think the value proposition that you've just articulated is clear. The value, the cost at the pump is lower for your solution, and really the upfront cost for the truck is lower as well. That's amazing. You might want to elaborate a little bit more. How are you able to accomplish that? How are you able to achieve that, Thomas, with what you've come up with?
It really comes down to where's the fuel coming from and how are you going to get access to the fuel, right? So with natural gas and renewable natural gas, there are over 700 stations already built out across the U.S. that are already in place for Class 8 trucking, right? So we're really tapping into a refueling infrastructure that's already there. We're just utilizing stations that already exist. Versus with battery electric and fuel cell, the stations don't exist, right? There is no spot that you can take a semi-truck and go plug it into the grid, or there are very few of them out there in the U.S. Same thing with hydrogen. There are very few locations, let alone for trucks. I mean, there are, you know, less than 100 of them hydrogen stations out there for passenger cars, and there's less than 10 of them out there for trucks, right? So when you start looking at it, the infrastructure has already been built out for natural gas, and it hasn't yet been built out for electric and for hydrogen. And the costs are pretty staggering. I mean, we looked at, if you wanted to build out as many hydrogen stations out there that there are natural gas, it would be about a $12 billion endeavor. which is pretty large numbers, right? I mean, it's a barrier that if you want to bring forward hydrogen fuel cell vehicles, that's a big cost that would need to be incurred in order to do so. And so that's where, with our technology, we're able to kind of circumvent having to go out and spend all that money on infrastructure, and we're able to just get right to starting to deploy trucks and use the infrastructure that's already out there. Now, the other one that often gets kind of overlooked is electric recharging, right? I mean, I think hydrogen, everyone understands, there are no hydrogen stations, there are no pipelines for hydrogen to transport it across the U.S. Versus for electricity, we do have a grid set up, right? I mean, there is a whole, obviously, you know, everyone's house is run off of electricity. And a lot of times people look at it and say, well, we can just easily use that grid to recharge these trucks. And when you actually start getting into some of the numbers behind it and how much electricity these vehicles actually consume, it's some pretty staggering numbers. There was one study done that looked at if you were to plug in two Tesla, I think they're called mega chargers, that amount of electricity those two chargers would consume is the same amount of electricity, it's actually even more, than an entire truck manufacturing plant, right? So charging two chargers is more electricity than an entire factory. And so when you start getting into those numbers, you know, if you wanted to move the whole trucking industry over to electric, or even just a small portion of it over to electric, that's huge impact on the grid. And, you know, we would really need to ruggedize and improve the amount of electric transportation on the grid and the amount of electricity that's being produced in order to charge these vehicles, right? I mean, we're already starting to see issues in California with brownouts happening and there just being too much demand on the grid. Imagine putting hundreds or thousands of these trucks on that same grid and having that be another source of pulling electricity. The math doesn't work out. And then when you look at even the cost to do it, we had a fleet here near our headquarters in Texas that expressed that they had looked at potentially moving over to electric, and they looked at moving one of their warehouses, moving all the loading docks over to having electric recharging. And their utility quoted them that it was going to be about a $30 million endeavor just to increase the electrical capacity that they had coming into their facility and setting up all the rechargers. And at that point, the fleet looked at it and said, $30 million to just set up the infrastructure? That's not economical, right? I mean, the expense they can't incur, it doesn't make sense.
Well, Thomas, those are great examples and really appreciate those. And it really obviously hones in on the point that a lot of the people who listen to this call hear us talk about a lot. You know, the infrastructure is really important. It's expensive to build, but we've got an essential infrastructure that your company has been benefiting from. And so I appreciate you pointing that out. The last question to wrap this up is just, so how big is your target market that your solution addresses?
Trucking is pretty large. It's a huge, huge market we're going after. Here in North America, there's about 300,000 new trucks put on the road every year. There's about 2 million out there right now. And then as we look globally, there's about 1 million new trucks made every year for the global market here. And so we're going after what is a huge industry. We kind of led into this discussion. It's an industry that is a large producer of the emissions that's out there, but it's an amazing opportunity ahead of us from an amount of trucks and the amount of units that we can get deployed out there and ultimately convert that into amount of emission savings. But the analogy I always like to use on this, and when someone's trying to kind of wrap their head around the trucking industry, it's like, try to look around the room, try to think of something in that room that at one point in its life didn't get transported on the truck. And you really can't. I mean, almost everything is shipped on a truck at some point during its life. And that's the industry we're going after. It's really the backbone of our economy of moving goods around and getting the goods that we buy every day from point A to point B, whether it be the laptop you're using or even the food you're eating in your kitchen, right? I mean, all of it gets moved on a truck at some point of its life, or most of it does. And so it's a huge industry, a huge and vital part of our economy. And if we're able to move the trucking industry to a more sustainable fuel and less emissions, it's obviously going to be great for our environment. But if we're also able to do it while reducing the cost of operation of the truck, then our goal is ultimately those savings are going to be passed down to the end consumer, right? I mean, if we're able to reduce how much it costs to move goods from a farm into your kitchen, well, then ultimately that product, that food is going to cost less. And then ultimately that's our goal, is bring forward those emission savings as well as those cost savings and ultimately try to have a pretty big impact on our economy and on our emissions in the world.
Well, Thomas, that's all the questions I have for you today. I really appreciate you taking time out of your busy day to give some of the listeners your perspectives. I thought they were very helpful and very insightful. And to everyone listening, thanks, and look for additional series of the educational series that we'll be publishing in the near future. Thanks again, Thomas, and we'll talk to you soon.